Good morning. I'm going to talk about today a novel technique we developed for getting scale constructs, entropy-based analysis for spatiotemporal variability of nitrate in Texas aquifers across multiple scales. So as we know, nitrate is one of the most pervasive contaminants in groundwater. And in order to understand nitrate leaching into groundwater, we want to model fate and transport of nitrate in wetter zone as well as in groundwater. And modeling this fate and transport of nitrate in groundwater poses multiple challenges that come from different sources. For example, data that come at multiple scales, and it's also not free of errors. Then we have like a big question like what should be the model structure and processes, like what level of complexities we want to have in our model. And as model gets more complex, then we have more number of parameters. And uncertainty in parameters and these processes lead to different outputs with uncertainty. So to answer all of these questions, we want to understand the scale disparity. So in this talk, I will focus on how to find scale constructs for modeling groundwater nitrate. And nitrate shows the spatiotemporal variability, which comes from multiple geophysical factors like sources and the properties of wetter zone and the types of aquifers like confined and unconfined and aquifer heterogeneity. So the specific objectives of my talk are today to investigate the investigate the spatial variability of nitrate in groundwater and corresponding physical factors at multiple scales, and analyze long-term trends and persistence in the spatial distribution of nitrate in groundwater. So we conducted our study in these two aquifers, Ogallala Aquifer and Trinity Aquifer in Texas region. See, the Ogallala Aquifer is an important water supply in southern Great Plains, and it's a large aquifer. It spreads across 8 states. So we will focus only in Texas region. And another one is the Trinity Aquifer, which is another very important water supply in Texas, which is located on 4 densely populated cities that host like 85% of the population: Austin, San Antonio, Dallas, and Fort Worth. As we can see from the lower panel, like both of these aquifers show more than 10 milligram per liter of nitrate, so which is alarming. And also for this study, we get data from various agencies like Texas Water Development Board, NCTC, NALDS, NLCD. So we have data almost from like 1930 or 1940 onwards for nitrate in all of these wells, but that looks plenty of information. But what happens, actually each well has only 3 or 4 values. So when we talk about like persistence or trends, we cannot really analyze that data set. So for that, we need to have a different approach. So we developed an entropy-based approach here. So what we did actually, we took these wells and we divided into different grid sizes, namely like fine grid, intermediate grid, and coarse grid, that are like 2 kilometer by 2 kilometer, 10 kilometer by 10, and 100 by 100. And the rationale behind dividing these data into these grids were the existence of flow systems in these two aquifers, local, intermediate, and regional flow systems. So when we divide these data in different grids, so we will consider like all the wells falling in one particular grid as one data set. So that will create one time series. Even though wells are located at different depths, but entropy is a robust approach. It considers, it's a non-parametric approach. So it actually bins all the data based on their depth. So we don't have to really specify depth, but entropy puts in different bins when we create the PDF. And to infer physical controls, we also did a numerical modeling using Modflow and MT3D-MS in these two aquifers. So again, we did a spatial discretization of 1 kilometer by 1 kilometer, and then we regridded these outputs from these models at these given grids, fine, intermediate, and coarse. And then we got those entropy values of the simulated nitrate concentrations. And then we compared with our observed entropy values and inferred various physical controls for the spatial variability. So here is a little description of Shannon entropy, how we calculate. So it's like if we have a PDF of variable x as fx, so it is multiplied by log of its value and integrated over the spatial domain. So in order to compare across various grids, we also created another metric, normalized marginal entropy, which varies between 0 to 100. So higher is the normalized marginal entropy, lower is the variability in the data. And also wanted to know spatial covariability between two data sets. So here you can see in this Venn diagram, like we have this intersection. So that's the mutual information shared by two variables. So higher is the area, more is the mutual information between these two variables. And in order to explore temporal variability, long-term trends and persistence, we used Hurst exponent. So Hurst exponent is like having a time series and divided into smaller time series by length, like say n, n by 2, n by 4, so on. Then we take each time series and detrend it and divide by its range. That's called R by S ratio. So H is calculated using the gradient of the fit between log n and n log R over S. So let's move on to some result section. So how our model works, that was one question. So we compared using mutual information and R square values of our entropy values. So here you can see for both the aquifers, Ogallala and Trinity, mutual information that consistently ranges from 60 to 74, more than 60% times, we have an agreement, and R square values are also pretty good. So with this reasonable agreement between modeled values and observed values, we found like some scale constructs. So here in this plot, you can see these are observed values of nitrate, observed values of entropy of nitrate. So in these two aquifer, fine, intermediate, and coarse grids, you can see how nitrate varies in this space. So you can see like for both the aquifers, at intermediate scale, we have lowest normalized marginal entropy. That shows like highest spatial variability. So now next question is like what causes this spatial variability and which scale, like what physical controls we have. So we had our baseline model, then we perturbed different factors by plus minus 50% to get the sensitivity of those factors. So here in this Ogallala aquifer, we perturbed these two factors, pumping and hydraulic conductivity in the Ogallala aquifer, and simulated values were used to calculate the entropy. And these cumulative distribution functions, they show like how entropy values change when we perturb these values. So in these scenarios, you can see at fine scale, we have like lower NME when we have normal versus intense pumping and available hydraulic conductivity versus high hydraulic conductivity. So changing these variables at fine scale shows a higher spatial variability. So that's like a conclusion from this plot, like a spatial variability that changes due to pumping and hydraulic conductivity at fine scale. Then similar observations we got at Trinity aquifer. So here you can see at fine scale and because of pumping and hydraulic conductivity, we get more spatial variability. The next thing was to see how much impact a river has on spatial variability of nitrate in these aquifers. So we considered two scenarios, one with river, like the way they are there in these aquifers. And one scenario was without any river interaction. So we can see like at intermediate scale, we see like there is some variability that changes. And it's actually not so much visible in the case of Ogallala aquifer because there are not so many rivers, but when you see at the Trinity Aquifer, this impact is more visible in case of Trinity Aquifer, because there are like 7 or 8 rivers in this region. And when we have two scenarios, layering versus no layering. So Ogallala Aquifer is unconfined aquifer with like homogeneous properties. So with layering, like, it doesn't show much impact. But in case of Trinity Aquifer, we see like here we have like more variability, because the Trinity has like a different geologic formations. So with this, like, we can say at intermediate scale, spatial variability changes due to river, and at coarse scale, spatial variability that changes due to layering or geological properties. So next thing was to find trends and persistence analysis. So we computed Hurst exponents. So these Hurst exponents, they give, if H value is close to 1, that shows a very strong persistence. That means like nitrate, if it is increasing, it will keep increasing every year. And if it is close to 0, that means that there is a mean reversion phenomena. That means like 1 year, if it is increasing, next year it's going to decrease, or similarly. And if that value is close to 0.5, that shows a random behavior. Like it's hard to predict what's going to happen. So we can see in Trinity and Ogallala Aquifer at these three, fine, intermediate and coarse scales, Ogallala Aquifer has in general higher persistence. Its value is more closer to 1. And Trinity Aquifer shows less persistence. And at intermediate scale, highest Hurst exponent has been observed. That shows intermediate scale shows maximum persistence. So based on these results, we have some conclusions. So the variability of nitrate that is controlled at fine scale because of pumping and hydraulic conductivity. And at intermediate scale, it is because of complex interactions between rivers and the aquifer. And at coarse scale, it's due to lithology and geology. And we observe maximum variability of nitrate at intermediate scale in both the aquifers. And number of hot spots of nitrate contamination in groundwater that decrease with increase in the spatial scale from fine to coarse grades. And the trends of nitrate shows fine scale fluctuations, and those are fluctuations located mostly at the transitional areas where we have like interface of river or hyporheic zones. And the intermediate scale, we see long-term persistence. So this, okay, thank you. And I would like to take any questions if you have. Actually, in my first slide, I mentioned like we want to know how leaching happens and what are the processes important. So when data that come from different scales, so we want to have a scale like physical controls. So when we want to go from one scale to another scale, so we want to have a physical control that can help in scaling up or scaling down our modeling approach. So this may not seem applicable in case of field experiments, but for modeling, when we investigate different processes, then it can give a very robust approach for scaling up or down nitrate modeling.